1 Samuel chapter 3, if you want to grab your Bibles. But I thought I'd tell you, and I haven't told many people this, but when I was young, my mum tells me that I had a hearing problem. And she was actually very, very worried about me, because there'd be these times when I just would not hear her speaking. And she told me it's called selective hearing. Selective hearing. Has anyone here ever had selective hearing? Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes both ways there, John. But I remember, like, I used to love playing sport. And we used to either play basketball or cricket out the front of my house. And I remember Mum yelling at me, "James! James!" And I'd turn to my brother and say, "Do you hear something?" "No, I don't hear anything." We'd just keep going, "Come and do the homework," or "Come and do the dishes." "No, don't hear a thing." Then Mum would come out, "Come on, I've been yelling at you." "Sorry, didn't hear you. I don't know what you're talking about." Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yep. Maybe, yeah, if there was ice cream, of course. Of course. Yes. Okay, so selective hearing. Football started last night. Who watched the football? Yeah, we've got some people. Now, what's the bet? So maybe the men. If your wife started saying, "Honey..." And you know, they started saying, "Oh, I need your help over here," or "Come and do this," or "Come and do that," would you hear a word that they said? Well, I think that's lying, because we would hear, but we would completely ignore it, wouldn't we? Same with you boys. You're like, "What? I don't know what she's saying. I don't hear that either." Selective hearing. But I think we all have it at some time when we hear stuff, but we choose not to hear it. Does that make sense? We just turn off. We ignore it. And before you know it, we actually don't hear it, do we? Like, it's just, "Oh, something's going on and I'm just ignoring it." And so all good. And that's what I think the scripture wants to say to us this morning. So if you're all there, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're starting at verse 1. Here we go. It says, oh, hang on, let me give you a bit of background information before I start. Samuel's mum, so this story is about a guy called Samuel. His mum couldn't have a baby, and so she said to the Lord, "You know, God," you know, she prayed, and she said, "If I have a baby, I'll dedicate him straight back to you." And in those days, that meant that the baby, well, once he grew up and became a kid or a young man, he would go and live in the temple, and he would be a minister. So he would do, like, all sorts of jobs. And that's what Samuel was. So that's the context. So here we go. Chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Everyone say ministered. I didn't hear some people. Ministered. Want to make sure you're listening. That's good. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. Did you catch that? It said, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. You know, who knows that the word of God is not rare anymore? Oh my goodness, two people, three people. I see three people nodding. Well, that's good, because I think God wants to change our thinking. The word of God is not rare. The voice of God is not rare anymore. In Acts chapter 2, we hear about Pentecost. If you know the story, it's when the disciples are praying and they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, okay? And all this sort of thing is happening, and all these crazy things start happening in the prayer meeting. It spills out onto the street, and people look at these disciples and say, "Man, you guys are drunk. You guys are acting like fools. You're crazy. What's going on?" And Peter gets up, and he actually starts saying, "Well, actually, this is a prophecy being fulfilled from ages ago, hundreds of years ago." And the prophecy, it says in Acts chapter 2, says, in the last days, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and my sons and daughters shall dream dreams and have visions." Isn't that cool? And so what Peter was saying, the time has come. We're in the last days now. People will dream dreams and have visions. So that's the first thing I want to say. We're in those times. We are not in the times when the voice of God is rare. We're in the times when it should be happening naturally and often. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, does anyone know the band U2? You've heard the band U2? On one of their albums, you'll see there's like a Jeremiah 33:3 is on one of their covers. And it's known as God's phone number. Because the verse says, call to me and I will answer you. So everyone say, will. He will answer you. You know, lots of us go through life thinking, no, he might not. Do you know what I mean? We sort of wonder if God's really going to answer our prayer. But the scripture says very clearly, he will answer us. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. Clear as crystal, Jesus said it. My sheep will hear my voice. And then I want to turn to John chapter 16. This is a really cool passage. Let me open it up. John chapter 16. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples and is telling them that he's about to go. Okay, he's about to die, rise again, and he won't be with them anymore. This is what he says in verse 5. It says, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. Okay, so the disciples, they're upset that he's leaving because they've been their teacher. He's helped them. They like getting advice from him. They like spending time with him. They're upset that he's leaving. But then he says, but I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I am going away, because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. And if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, okay, it's sad that I'm going, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who is going to be there for you. He continues to speak down in verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. So what's Jesus saying here? I want to keep speaking to you, disciples, but you can't take it all just now. So I need to send the Holy Spirit to tell you it. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. So it's saying he will speak, though. He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So it's Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So here the scripture is very, very clear that when the Holy Spirit comes, you get to hear what Jesus has to say to you. You know, it would have been awful if there was just one man, Jesus, here on earth, and all of us, whenever we wanted to pray or ask God something, we had to go and line up with, you know, 7 billion other people that are on the planet. You just would never get heard, would you? You'd never have your prayers answered. And so Jesus said that I'm going to send my Holy Spirit so that all of you can hear what God has to say. So the word of God is not rare. Let's keep reading what it says in Samuel. Here we go. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, no, I didn't. I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lied down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli said, my son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Now Samuel, this is verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Let me repeat that. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He had not heard the voice of God. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that are like Samuel, who've been ministering, they're dedicated to God, all that sort of thing, and they don't hear God speak to them. They just don't hear it. And it's saying that they don't know God. Lots of people are dedicated maybe to a good idea. You know, maybe you think Jesus, he had some really good ideas. We can follow what he said. Maybe it's the morals of Jesus. He gives you a pretty good way to live. People can be, you know, dedicated to that. Or they might even be dedicated to a church and work within a church or a denomination. And they think that's really good. But the scripture here is making it very, 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 very clear that unless you hear the voice of God, unless God reveals himself to you, you only know about God. You don't actually know God. And there's a difference. You can know God or you can know about God. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this really great statement. And he says, I'm no longer going to call you servants, because servants don't know what their boss is all about. He said, I'm going to call you friends, because I'm going to tell you what's going on. And so Jesus doesn't want us just to be mindless slaves that come to church and do all the right things. He actually wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to speak to him, and he wants to speak to us. And that's why we are called friends. So let's keep going. Verse 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and went back to bed. The Lord came and stood by him, calling as the other times, and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord spoke to Samuel. You see, what Samuel did is he sort of had this hearing. He was sort of hearing God speak to him, but he thought it was Eli. And often, a lot of us, we think we might hear God speak to us, we'll write it off as something else. But what we have to do if we want to hear what God has to say to us is we need to position ourselves so that we can hear. Samuel positioned himself in the right place. That's the first point. In the right place. He went back to bed, which was in the temple of the Lord where the presence of God was. He went to a quiet place. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about how God is hiding. And a lot of us, when we think about the voice of God, we think, oh, God's hiding. It's hard to hear what God is saying. You know, when I grew up, when I prayed, I would say, you know, "God, what about this? What about this? What about this? Amen." And I'd walk away. And I would never stop to listen to what he said. And I would just guess that he would reveal himself or that he would answer my prayers during the day through circumstances. You know, that was him speaking to me. But in Matthew chapter 6, it says that God is not hiding from us, but that he's hiding for us. And it says we need to go to the secret place. It says, go to your room, close the door, shut the curtains, and you will find me there. So God has told us where we will find him, where we will hear his voice. We need to take time out of every day to settle down and to listen to what God has to say to us. And if we do that, we'll hear his voice more throughout the day. The second thing that Samuel positioned was his heart. And it was full of faith and expectation. He said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Speak, for your servant is listening. God wants us to be exactly the same. Although he doesn't call us servant anymore, he calls us friend. And so he wants us to say, "Speak, God, for I am listening. I'm here. I want to hear what you have to say to me." It's faith, you know. We need to believe that God will actually start speaking to us. I remember when I first heard this preached to me, and I was told that God wanted to speak to me, and I just presumed that God didn't want to speak to me because I thought I had never heard his voice before, you know. And I remember in the meeting, they were saying, just spend some time and listen to God. And I really struggled with it because I thought, I'm not hearing a thing. You know, it was like I was up against a brick wall. But it wasn't until later that I realized that I had to position my heart and say, "God, I actually expect you to speak to me." And once I did that, bang, God started speaking to me. He started speaking to me and amazing things happened. So this morning, I believe that there will be people here, because I'm sure there would be in most churches, there would be people here who have believed the lie that the word of God is rare, that it's hard to hear what God has to say, or that God doesn't speak to me, or that I've never heard him speak to me before. It's all a lie, because the scripture, as I've really quickly pointed out, is jam-packed of God saying, "I will speak to you." And so if we're not hearing him, we need to sort of turn back on again. It's like we've got that selective hearing. We've decided, we've believed that God doesn't want to speak to us. But God is much better than a nagging wife or a nagging mum. God wants to speak to you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to impart words of life to you. And it will change your life. It changed my life as well when I began to hear God speak. So if we can just, we're going to spend a little bit of time in quiet. I just ask you maybe just to shut your eyes just for a moment. And I just want to see a show of hands of people who have believed that the word of God is rare, that I can't hear God's voice, or that I've never heard his voice before. If that's you, can you just quickly pop your hand up and pop it back down so I know who I'm praying for? Excellent. Cool. We've got a few people who've put their hands up. Cool. Excellent. Well, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you because you do want to speak to us. We thank you that you're not just a figment of our imagination. We thank you that you are real and you make a difference in our lives. Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin speaking to us. We renounce all those lies that say we can't hear you speak. We position ourselves in this meeting. We position our hearts and say, speak, Lord, for we are listening. Now, I just want you to ask God a couple of simple questions. Maybe just start with, God, what do you like about me? And just see what God says to you. What do you like about me? And just believe as he speaks. Maybe just say, God, what do you want to say to me this morning? Lord, we thank you because you do speak to us. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be a thing that we do on a Sunday. But Lord, I pray that this would become a way of life for every person in this room. I pray for those that are struggling to hear you speak to them, that they would be able to position themselves in a place where they can meet you, where they can hear you speak to them. We declare that you are a God who is real and speaks to us. Help us to remember that. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. So just have a little kind of smile to me, or wouldn't put your hand up if you just heard God speak to you. Something encouraging? Oh, good. Okay. Do you want to stand? And we're going to sing another song. We're going to end with Hear Our Praises and just praise the Lord for what he's done. Hang on. Here we go. Have a baby. He's fast asleep and my arm's getting dead. Okay. May our homes be filled with dancing, our streets be filled with joy. Hallelujah. I'm so excited that so many of you actually heard God speak to you. And the first time I did this and I asked him what he liked about me, he said something simple and he just said my smile. And I was like, ew. But it was just amazing because all of a sudden I thought, wow, something so little to me, he loved about me. And it was just something that really encouraged me. Okay, may our homes be filled with dancing and our streets be filled with joy. Thank you, band.